But we're starting a new series today, and I want to ask you this. What do you fear today? Or what fears are controlling you? Or what is intimidating you? What is controlling you? On your screen here, this is the inaugural address by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, March 4th, 1933. Right in the uptick of the Great Depression. This is an inaugural address, and I want to read this. This is the first paragraph. And it says, "I am certain that my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impel. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." Remember that line there, convert retreat into advance. "In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and vigor has met with that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory. I am convinced that you will again give that support to leadership in these critical days." That was March 4th, 1933. As President Roosevelt faced the growing depression, the Great Depression was beginning to roar and increase, many Americans were fearful. If you study history, many Americans at the time were fearful of what was happening. They were fearful of the unknown. This is the new Great Depression that was happening. And they were kind of unknown about, who's this new guy that's saying, man, he's going to fix all this? Who is this guy? I want to submit to us today, as we start a new series, that we too, the church today, we're facing a deepening crisis as disciples of Jesus who can be reluctant at best and resisting at worst the power and presence of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We're seeing a crisis, I would say, in my opinion, from sometimes in the people in the church, that the Holy Spirit has been at times neglected and ignored. Now, we know the Holy Spirit. We know, we understand him. We're going to read about him. We understand he's important, but have we really embraced him? Or do we let fear, sometimes the fear of the invisible Holy Spirit, we can't see him, we can't touch him. Are there fears that overcome us? Just in the middle of the Great Depression, FDR had to address the fears of the people. And today, and as we go forward in these next 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to address the fear of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when you say the Holy Spirit, some people get real tight, right? They're like, you know, Pastor Dan, what are you talking about? We'll talk about that here. Whether you agreed with FDR, he had to get the American people united around a common goal and a vision of returning the U.S. economy back to the principles of our Constitution, back to the principles that were sound guidance principles that were guiding us, that could have guided us. Today, I want to talk to us, that church, that we need once again to return to the power and the presence and the guiding direction of the Holy Spirit. Today's Pentecost Sunday. It's just, and today is the day the church is around the world, we emphasize the power and work of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus spoke frankly and boldly to his disciples, right? Jesus didn't hold punches. Jesus didn't, you know, put on the nice soft gloves with the disciples. He told them things as they needed to hear them. But also we need to hear that the Holy Spirit is alive and active, and that for us today, going forward in the time that we're in, as we've been talking about, we need the power and presence of the Spirit. And I know I'm probably preaching to the room here. Many of you believe in the Spirit. You're there. But there might be one or two of us, maybe in this current time, maybe you've been a little more, less engaging with the Spirit. Or maybe you have never really fully engaged with the Holy Spirit. And I want to just remind of a few things here. This series here's what the series is not going to be about. I want to be a good clarification. This series isn't about a technique or a four-step way to manipulate the Holy Spirit. This isn't some type of, if you do A, B, C, and D, then boom, the Holy Spirit has got to do this for you. That's not what the series is going to be about. Secondly, it's not going to be about, we're the one church denomination that has special access to the Spirit. A lot of times, Pentecostals say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's our special distinctive. That we don't own the Spirit. No one owns Jesus or the Holy Spirit. As they said in Dirty Dancing, nobody puts baby in a corner, right? Nobody owns the Holy Spirit and puts him in a corner or acts like, we have some type of special access to him. No, the Spirit's for all people for all time. And so it's for the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the non-denoms, the Catholics, you name it. If you call on the name of the Spirit will come and fill you. The third thing this series is not about, it's not about having a great church experience. All right, it's not about having a good hootin' nanny, swinging from the chandeliers, a holy ruler, whatever you want to call it in your age of church and church kingdom. The Holy Spirit is not, this series is not about, hey, here's how we're going to have a cranking awesome Pentecostal service, yeah. If we have those, great, come on, let's worship Him, let's praise Him. Let's let the Spirit move, as Paul said, don't quench the Spirit, test the Spirit. But this series isn't about how to manipulate the service, and so we can have something we can say, well, we go home and boy, we can say, boy, man, we had 3 prophecies of words and tongues, someone healed, and whoo, man, that was a great service. No, we want all that. We say, yes, Lord, and that's fine. But as we're going to see, the goal of the Spirit wasn't to have a kicking awesome Sunday morning service. That wasn't the goal of the Spirit when He was given in Acts. And lastly, the fourth thing this thing is about the Holy Spirit, is it's about the way and not the thing. I'm going to say that again. It's about the way and not the thing. The way is the continual personal encounters with the Holy Spirit you and I have every day and can have every day. It's not about the thing, the outward manifestation. Those are the byproducts of the inward change in the Spirit in our life and the inward pursuit of the Spirit. The words of knowledge, you walk up to somebody and you say, hey, you know, I think God wants me to tell you this. Wow, that's the outward byproduct of living with Jesus and living in the Spirit. That the thing is not the end goal. The way is. It's connection and habitation with the Spirit. That's the way. And that's what Jesus, we'll get into that. This is what Jesus talked to us about. This series, ready, is about you releasing your fears about the Holy Spirit and welcoming Him in a new and fresh way into your daily walk. It's inviting Him to come in and do another work in your life. Many of you here, across the room, many of you have followed Jesus for many years faithfully. But you know what? You're still breathing, and the Holy Spirit's got new things to do. It's a new time. It's 2023. He's got new things to do. Jesus said those are old wineskins, old things. Sharon, like Sharon said, whatever happened in the 80s, that was great. Praise God. What happened in the 90s? Praise God. What happened in the 1900s? Praise God. But that was then. This is now. And the Spirit's got to do some new things. He's got new people to reach, new hearts. The next generation has to be reached. And the Holy Spirit wants to use you and you and you and you and you. But we have to be open to that. And I want to encourage us during this series. I hope that you get this in your spirit, that's this. That this is the time to kill the chicken inside of you regarding the Holy Spirit. There was an old song that said, the Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you. It's an old kids song. You ever heard that? I don't know if you, in kids ministering, Jim Weidman, he was a kids ministry. There was a song they did. I remember in kids ministry, we would sing it. There was a whole, I know. Some people asked me, aka my wife, said, don't sing that song or play it. But anyhow, there was an old song that said, the Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you. I pray during this series that you will release your fears of the Holy Spirit. That you would let Jesus kill the chickenness in you and allow Him to speak to you in a fresh and bold way, that Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm giving you another counselor, the advocate who will continue my ministry in you. And some of you have said, well, Pastor Dan, I grew up in the Pentecostal church. I'm AG. Well, yay, yay. I've seen plenty of dead AG churches in my lifetime. I don't know about you. Or people that said, I'm Pentecostal, but boy, they keep the Holy Spirit out there in the parking lot, and they stay over here. All right? This series is to remind you that the Holy Spirit is there for strength and boldness and assuredness that you are a child of God, you can interact with the Holy Spirit, and you will be used by Him. That's my prayer for this series. And so with that, let's jump in here. Let's jump into about who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? This series is going to be about releasing the dove. Releasing the dove. And I want to, and that's our theme for this, is that I pray that in this series, even if you've walked with Jesus for more years than I've been alive, or you're new to Jesus today, that you will release the Spirit in your life. You will say, Holy Spirit, come use me. Come speak to me. Come do something new in me. No matter how many years and how many ways God has used, many, I've looked across the room, many of you here, God has used you mightily over the years. But there is more in Christ Jesus, as Paul writes. There's more and more and more in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will release your fears and allow the Spirit to work inside of you in the days and the weeks to follow. So who is the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? What's His name? Have you taken a moment to think about His name? What does the word holy mean? It means perfect, without fault or error, pure. What is Spirit? It's invisible. Sometimes the King James will use ghost. The ghost is a really archaic and bad translation of the Greek. It's really Spirit. It's really Holy Spirit. And there's not a Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit is the better translation of the text there. But think about this. We are asking this holy, perfect, without fault presence. It's invisible, and there's no image of Him to live inside of us. How many of you, that's hard to grasp sometimes. It's easy to grasp God the Father because Jesus says, you know, it talks about all the Father metaphors. And then we know Jesus. Man, Jesus is all. Man, we see Jesus. We know Jesus. We've seen him. That's a lot easier to grasp. But the Holy Spirit, we can't see it, but it lives inside of us. It's harder. Harder to grasp that. So turn with me in your scriptures here to John 14. We're going to read through three scriptures here. They're not going to be on your screen, so you've got to turn to the pages in your Bible. So turn with me to John 14, verses 15 through 17. Go ahead and turn there, church. We're going to read these three. Now, John 14 through 16 is one of the most compact narratives of who this Holy Spirit is, what does he do, and why did Jesus and God the Father send him. So we're not going to read all of it today, but just a few verses here as we begin our series. Verse 15 says, Jesus talking, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," or your version might say it's helper or advocate, "to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Man, that's a promise of God, church. Put that in your memory banks. That's a promise right there for us. Let's turn with me over to John, same chapter 14, verses 25 and through 26. Just jump down, and it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the helper or advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Then turn with me over to John 16, a couple chapters over. John 16, verses 5 through 15, a little longer portion. Let's read that here. Once again, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I did not say these things to you." Whoops, sorry. I'm in the wrong verse. That's verse 4. Verse 5. "But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless," whenever you see the word "nevertheless" in Scripture, pay attention, because there's about to be a flip. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Father, we ask in these next few moments that you would speak to us your word. We pray that your word would strengthen us, encourage us, convict us, rebuke us. And most of all, God, may we hide your word in our heart. Jesus, we say thank you for being the living word. And we pray that we'd follow you, your commands, and that we would welcome the Spirit, this Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate in our life. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. In these verses, I hope you heard the word helper, or in your Bible might say advocate. He's the helper. He's the advocate for us. And so let's break that down here. Today's kind of an introductory, and we're going to get into the weeks to come, really dive deep dive into Scripture. What is the Holy Spirit's role? And we're going to go through some stories and some narratives. But I just want to remind us kind of an oversight. In John 14, 15, which we just read, and then in 1 John 2, 1, the advocate and helper narrative is spoken about. The advocate or helper, it's the Greek word parakletos, and it's just defined as someone called alongside to help. It's also considered a wise friend or an advisor in the context outside of Scripture, in the non-legal context outside of Scripture. It's considered, it'd be someone at court that'd be sitting next to you, that'd be saying, "Hey, that's not good for you," or "That's not in your best behalf," or "Hey, here's from my experience." Now, the Holy Spirit's not an attorney. Sometimes you can preach it real good that he's an attorney. Well, the Scripture definitions is not an attorney. He's someone that's called alongside you to help you, to walk with you, a wise friend more. It's not necessarily legal. Jesus did that. Jesus went before and paid the price in the court of law for us with his blood. So Jesus is really more that. The Holy Spirit is like kind of that bosom buddy, that person that walks alongside of you, but that's super wise. Anybody have a friend like that? Or someone in your family that, man, they walk alongside of you and they're super wise. I mean, they've got that wisdom and that steadiness. That's the Spirit. He knows how to nudge you in the right way, how to take you in the right way. He's like, "Don't do that, do that, don't do that. Oh, come on now." You know, that's more the role of the Spirit. Also, it's translated as comforter, helper, and friend in many of the English versions of Scripture. And in the weeks to come, we'll dive into some of those other places where it says the Spirit is our comforter. He's our friend. And so the Spirit, I want to get to you, he's our advocate and he's helper. That's the two really main definitions. He's the helper and he's our advocate. Aren't you glad that Jesus sent another advocate for us? The Holy Spirit continues the work of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? A lot of times, sometimes we get in the habit of Jesus, we know Jesus goes up, he sent the Holy Spirit, but it's almost like he sent the Holy Spirit and that's it. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just come inside of us when we repent, submit our heart and mind to Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and reside of us and just stop, he sit down, you know, pop open a cold Pepsi and just relax us until we die. No, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is the continuation of Jesus' ministry in us. From all these verses, it says that the Holy Spirit would take what Jesus would taught us and wants to teach us, and the Holy Spirit would bring the God thoughts to us, the Jesus thoughts to us, and continue moving us on. So the Holy Spirit, that's why Paul writes about how the Holy Spirit is active in Galatians 5. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Church, the Holy Spirit is active. You got to put on your running shoes because the Holy Spirit wants to get you moving and get us doing things. He didn't just come inside of us just to sit and to be still. Now, what are other images of the Holy Spirit in Scripture? We have fire, we have water, we have oil, and we have the dove. Tim Enlow, he's an Assemblies of God evangelist, and he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says this, he says, if with the fire and the water and the dove imagery, boy, that sounds like a good recipe to make some good fried chicken. And he goes, but trying to understand the Holy Spirit's a lot harder. Because these images are not really detailed in Scripture. The Scripture doesn't spend chapters on chapters on each of these images. And Tim talks about how, once again, the Holy Spirit, it's invisible. He's holy and pure, and he's invisible. So how do you grasp that? How do you get that in your head, your heart? But I pray for you that the Holy Spirit is alive in you. How many of you have felt the presence of the Spirit inside of you? The small, still voice, maybe the fire, that conviction, yeah. Right? We may not be able to see him. He may not be on a poster on the wall. We can say, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. But we feel him. We know him. We know when we're doing wrong and when we're doing right. We feel that. You know, Disney had the little Jiminy Cricket. Remember Jiminy Cricket back from the 60s? Those little. You know, it's not Jiminy Cricket necessarily. It's a fire. It's a water. It's a dove inside of us. I don't know how it all works, but it works. And one day we'll ask Jesus about that. But the Spirit is that. He's our advocate and helper. And that's the basis of him. But I have something for you guys. Whoop. There we go. Come on. Technology. On the back on the table, I have for everybody these next two slides, because I know you may want to go through these, but I encourage you, pick up one of these in the back. If we run out, come get me, and I'll get you some more. This will also be online. But these are all the ways that Scripture describes the Holy Spirit, from the Old through the New Testament. These are some of the ways that the Scripture describes and displays the Spirit. But I want to encourage you, over these series, every week, I'd encourage you, read John 14 through 16. It'll take you about 15 minutes to read through it, and then read through these scriptures, and just keep rereading them. Let the Holy Spirit soak over you. Some of you like soaking in a tub, you know. Let the Word of God soak over you. But especially, what is the Holy Spirit? And so you can read through these and see how the Holy Spirit was woven through the narratives of Scripture. Now, we're not going to read all these because we might be here for a while, but here's what I want to encourage you with. Is this the Holy Spirit? This is part two of the list. Let me keep going. There's part two. So if you're taking photos, go. There's part two of the list. I want to encourage you in this. The Holy Spirit is standing alongside of you and I today. At this very moment, he is ready to continue the ministry of Jesus. He's ready for that. And my question to us is the Holy Spirit, is he a stranger to you? Or is he the living, breathing continuation of Jesus in your life? Do you have fears about the Spirit? Have you been burned by services or people misusing the gifts of the Spirit? Have you been in services where you're like, man, this is chaos? Or have you had people come up and say, hey, you know, brother so-and-so, I got a word for you. And you're like, come on. And that, you know, it wasn't a word. And how many of you have quenched the Spirit instead of testing the Spirit? I want to encourage you today, the Holy Spirit is not a stranger. And he's someone that we shouldn't be afraid of. It's because someone's abused him in the past. Doesn't mean that we got to shut them down or that we should be fearful of the dove. We need to be releasing the dove in our life. And no matter if you've served him, like I said, many years or a few years, church, I believe Jesus wants to speak to us. The Spirit's job is to bring the thoughts of Jesus to us. Now, if we look at Scripture, it's really the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. It's not Jesus. Now, I know that might be, some of you might have grown up, but if you look at Scripture, what Jesus said, He will bring my thoughts to you. He will teach you all the things that I taught you and remind you of that. And so really, when we push the Spirit away, when we have fears about the Spirit, we are actually pushing Jesus away from us. And we're putting up a barrier to Jesus. And so my prayer today is that you would begin today to release any fear, any doubts. Instead of quenching the Spirit, test it, welcome Him. Say, Holy Spirit, come today. Come fill me with power and might. Come do what you said in your word you're going to do. You said you would remind me of Jesus and His words. You would be the continuation of His ministry. Come do that today. Release the dove in your life. He sent the Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to remind us, to strengthen us, and to empower us. Man, why would we ever push the Spirit out of our life? Why would we ever think the Spirit can't speak to me? Have you ever thought that? I see some of you, I think, well, the Spirit will speak to Tim over there. I mean, Tim Frankel, just, you know, he's one of Jesus' BFFs over there, you know? I mean, who am I? But no, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and you and you and you and you and you in a mighty, powerful way. And why do we cage the dove? Why do we cage the fire and the water and the oil? Why don't we release it and say, Jesus, you gave it to me. Come on. If you say you're going to give it to me, give me all of it. Fill me. Wash over me. Use me. And it doesn't have to be what you've seen, the abuse or anything like that. God can use you in each of your specific gifts and your personalities. The Spirit will use you and flow through you. And so here's the question I want to end on. I know I'm preaching, many of you know this, but I just want to end on this. And this is our prayer time takeaway. How could you welcome more of His help right now in your life? Now, first, some of you might be thinking, well, I don't need Him, Dan. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Everybody in this room needs more of Him today. Come on. Come on. Many of you here, I know you're full of the Spirit. You're walking in Him. You're powerful in His Spirit. But come on. How many of you could welcome more of the Spirit right now? I don't feel like I'm overflowing with the Spirit today, all right? right? Come on. We need Him today. And that's our big takeaway today is this. I encourage you to pray, meditate on this, ask the Holy Spirit, how could I welcome more of you in my life right now? The Spirit is waiting. Jesus is waiting to continue His ministry. It's just His church confines Him. And once again, it's not confined to the AG, the Baptist, Presbyterian, non-denoms. Jesus is saying, I'll pour my Spirit on anybody that just says, hey, I'll take more, please. Right? The AG, we do not own this thing. It's not our little baby to control. It's never been our baby. What's interesting is if we look at Pentecostals or Charismatics, we think that the Spirit was given for the first 300 years of the church. Then the Spirit went away. And then in 1900, Azusa Street, boom, the Spirit's back on town. He's back. Guess who's back, baby? No. The Spirit's been there for 2 millennia. We just said, well, no, we're good with legalism. We're good with our knowledge. We're good, Jesus. We're good. But there were some people. There was a bunch of young people on Azusa Street, college kids, young adults, black, whites, Hispanics, kids praying and saying, hey, Jesus, you said you'd give us this gift. And boom, the Spirit was lit again. Fulfilling the Joel prophecies of in Joel. But church, we can't stop the Spirit. He's going to move past us if we don't welcome Him in our life. And so here's what we do. Go and stand up with me. We're going to close in prayer. That's just our prayer. Simple, easy. We're not going to put on some music and crank the band up, but we don't need any of that to welcome the Spirit, right? So let's just take a moment. Let's come on. Let's just pray. In your own way, intercede. Youth, kids, adults, senior citizens.